Have you ever gone with a realtor to check out a house for sale? Have you ever walked into a house that you were maybe going to buy, maybe put an offer on, and you walked in and it just smelled like warm chocolate chip cookies in the house? Is that, you ever experienced that before? People have found out that that is such an inviting and intoxicating smell that it's just a little trick that some realtors do. Are there cookies in the oven? No. There's cookies in a can that they sprayed in that kitchen. And you walk in, and it's like the smell of chocolate chip cookies just sort of lifted you up off the ground. And you thought, I'm going to give these people all my money. It's in the air you breathe. Well, that's what we want here, but instead of chocolate chip cookies, I want you breathing in faith. I want you breathing in the love of God. I want somebody coming into this place who all week long has been staring down the barrel of an impossible situation where it looks like they've got no hope and no way out and have no idea what they're gonna do, but they walk into an environment like this and faith is in the air. And whether or not their particular situation ever gets touched on, talked about, or what, just that spirit of faith in the place, they leave going, wait a second, all things are possible. Wait a second, all things are possible to him who believes, and all things are possible with God, and they take a brand new look at whatever it is they were facing, and they say, know what, it's not impossible. We can do this. We can overcome. We are more than conquerors. How do you create a spirit and an atmosphere of faith? Well, how does faith come? We know this from Romans chapter 10. Faith comes one way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, that is such a profound scripture that it is worth all your time digging into it and finding out everything it means, but just take it at face value and on the surface. Faith is going to come the more word you put in, which is why we have in this church ask the Lord for his grace and his help to stay with the word. Faith doesn't come by conjecture. Faith doesn't come because you heard my opinion. Faith doesn't come when I preach some experience I had. Faith comes by the hearing of the word of God. By the grace of God, we'll preach his word and stay with his word and stand on his word and run to his word and find out what his word has to say. Because his word has something to say about anything and everything you could face, I could face, any one of us are dealing with. What does the word say about it? Come on, that's the question you should be asking. What does the word say? What does the word say? That's the question I got asked all the time as a kid growing up in a house of faith when I wasn't feeling good, when I needed something, when I had a problem at school with a friend. My mom and dad would say, okay, well, what does the word say? What does the word say? And I'll be honest with you, as a kid hearing that, you're like, I don't know. Tell me. Tell me what the word says, then I'll know what the word says. And then when you say, what does the word say, I can tell you what the word says. And yeah, maybe I got a little frustrated with that as a teenager. But can I tell you who's thankful for it now? This 40-something-year-old standing here who got raised in a household of faith, and now I've got that same thing coming out of my mouth. What does the word say? What does the word say? Because that's the only place faith comes from. And you can fill an atmosphere with it. There was a day that Jesus was in a house preaching to people, and the Bible tells us there was a lot of religious people in that house. So I don't know what kind of atmosphere they brought with them. I can make assumption as I read the Gospels. These were not exactly members of the Jesus Christ fan club, these people. They're looking to find something wrong with what he's saying. They're looking and listening with critical hearts, looking for something, some fault they can find. There is no faith in the room when that's the attitude. You're not bringing a supply of faith when you're sitting there listening for somebody to make a mistake. If you don't want to be a fault-finding person, don't be a fault-seeking person. Fault-finders are just fault-seekers. And that's the group Jesus was preaching to. And while he's preaching, the roof gets a hole in it. And dust and rock and whatever else was up there begins to chip off and fall. And Jesus is like, what's that in my hair? And he steps back and he looks down and he looks up. And there's five guys, four of which just dug a hole in the roof. And they're like, sorry to interrupt, but this guy needs healing. Can we drop him down there real quick? And you know what the Bible says about that? Jesus saw their faith. There are other times in Scripture where it says he perceived. There were things that were perceivable to him. But on this occasion, faith, an invisible force, became visible to the physical eye. He saw it. How did he see faith? Because faith just dug a hole in the roof. Faith just did whatever it took to get to the feet of Jesus. And whatever atmosphere was or wasn't in the room, at that point, faith flooded the place. And it wasn't Jesus who did it. It was the people coming to him who came with that heart and that attitude. And you know that man got up and walked out of that place. What did that? Well, didn't he tell them? As he told others, faith has made you whole. We can create an atmosphere where those things are right on hand and ready to happen and ready to break out at any time. Faith does that. Somebody take a deep breath in. What's that smell? That's faith, man. Breathing in an atmosphere. This is the air we breathe. It's why we encourage you to read your chapter every day, Monday through Friday. If you haven't been doing that with us, jump on board. What are you doing? You're getting the word in you. Faith is coming. Faith is coming. Faith is coming. I told you last week, in addition to our reading, I've been going through the Old Testament, and there's quite a few chapters in there where I've just had to go, Lord, what do you want me to get out of that? But I sat down the other day, and I was going to read several chapters, and I made the decision, I'm just going to read, and then you talk to me about whatever you want to talk about. And I read, and I don't know that I could tell you now what all those chapters were about, but I just read for an hour. Just read. And at the end of that time, the Lord started talking to me about the church, about my family, about our finances. Answer after answer after answer. Where'd that come from? It came from the anointing that is on the word and the faith that comes by hearing it. We can create an atmosphere, church, where people from our community can come in having never heard one good message on faith. And they step into this atmosphere, and maybe they can't explain it when they leave. They just feel lifted. They just feel encouraged. They just leave thinking, okay, maybe I won't quit. That's what the spirit of faith can do. But what else was going on in these churches that so inspired Paul to pray the way he prayed? It wasn't just their faith. What else was it?
Love.
These two things. And honestly, you have to have both of these. You and I could talk faith, teach faith, preach faith till we're blue in the faith. But where there is no revelation of love, there is no operation of faith. Let me say it again. Where there is no revelation of love, there is no and can be no operation of faith. Because faith works how? By love. I'll say it to you like this. Your faith will work when you find out how much you're loved. That is what makes faith work. If you're trying to work faith without a revelation of the love of God, man, you're doing nothing but pushing levers and pushing buttons and the mechanics of faith, and those are all fine and good things. But what puts the power in it, what makes it effective, is the revelation of how loved you are. which is why we have to have these two things in operation. We're not looking for a church that's just got a great revelation of faith. If all you have is a great revelation of faith, look out, because you're going to get puffed up in pride, thinking you really know something that other people don't know. It takes love. It takes love working in us and working through us to make our faith worth anything. What did Paul say? I could have faith that could move mountains, but if I don't have love, how much am I? Nothing. He said, I am nothing. My faith is nothing without that love. So the atmosphere that by the grace of God we're creating here is an atmosphere both of faith and of love. Well, we find out how to create the atmosphere of faith, right? You go to the Word. You preach the Word. You stand on the Word. You look to the Word. How do you create an atmosphere of love? And by the way, everything I'm telling you about creating this atmosphere in this church will work in your house. Everything we're talking about and what's going to create this atmosphere in this house is the same thing that'll create the same atmosphere of heaven in your house. Is there some other atmosphere you want at your house? Something other than one of faith? Something other than one of love? No, that's what you want. And if you didn't know you wanted that, let me be the first to tell you, that's what you want. You want that. And people can feel it. People can sense it. It's an invisible thing, but it's very real. Just like you can walk into a place, and even if you hadn't been there the moments before, you can walk into a place and just know strife is there. You know, you can sense people have been fighting. You can walk into a home, and even if the husband and wife answered the door together with the smiles on their faces, you walk in, if you're spiritually perceptive at all, you know something's been going on. And Jesus even told his disciples that. When he sent them out, he said, you're going to go into places, and you're going to go into houses. And when you walk into a house, he said, peace. Say this, peace, he said, peace be on this place. He told them to say that. And he said, if your peace rests there, stay there. He said, but if it doesn't, you need to leave. What's he talking about? Atmosphere. He's talking about atmosphere. It's like walking to a house. Do you smell chocolate chip cookies? Stay. You're good there. Except maybe it's not cookies, it's peace. It's love. It's faith. What is that intoxicating aroma? That's love. That's the love of God working in us and working through us. Okay? We're all agreed we want that, right? Well, six of us are agreed. We're all agreed we want that, right? In this house. Somebody say this house. And in my house. This atmosphere of faith and love. How do we cultivate that atmosphere of love? Well, it's more than just people who use their words to articulate love. I love you. I love you. I love you. Those are good things to say, but this robotic recitation, I love you. I love you. What's that do for you? Is that doing anything to minister to you? It's got to be more than our words. This kind of love is cultivated and demonstrated in two main ways. Number one, it's demonstrated through our giving. For God so loved the world that he shouted real loud, I love y'all! Like I really, really love y'all. Love you. No. If that would have done it, if that would have been enough, that's what he would have done. But that's not what he did. He so loved that he so loved that he gave. Giving is the greatest expression of love. You've heard me say it before. I'll say it now and again and again and again. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You can give with the wrong motivation. You can give to be seen. You can give out of obligation. You can give out of pressure, out of necessity, and have no love in it. But you cannot love, genuinely love somebody without giving. You can't do it. Giving or loving is expressed in giving. In Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 2 that we are to walk in love as Christ also loved us and has given himself for us an offering. Offering. The offering up of our lives. And it's not just a financial thing. It's who you are. It's time. It's effort. It's energy. It's talents. When you give of that, you are cultivating an atmosphere of love in this house and in your house. So the first way our love is expressed and the first way we do this and create this atmosphere is with our giving. But number two, and this is what I want to spend just a moment on, and we'll be done. It's not just giving, it's serving. Serving. We cultivate an atmosphere of love with our serving. Let me give you just a couple of scriptures here. This is the one we have built our service teams on here at this church. And it's from the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. We're familiar with this, especially this year. He said, "You brethren have been called to liberty." When we jumped into this Jubilee Freedom Project, we stood on this scripture right here that said, "You are called to be free." Why don't we say it together? I am called to be free. I am called to liberty. He said, you've been called to liberty. One of the things that you and I must do in this life is give people the same freedom that God has given them. People of faith are not controlling people. We are not domineering people. We give people liberty. We give people freedom because that's what God gave people. He said, you're called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve. Through love, serve. Through what?
Love.
What do we do?
Serve.
Through love, serve one another. Just listen to a few of these verses. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 through 11 says, "Let your love be without hypocrisy." How many of you think that's a good idea? No hypocrisy in our love. Are you saying hypocrisy can make its way into love every day? People know how to dress it up. People know how to put on the love face, say the love words. But like we said last week, hypocrisy can be measured in the distance between what's in your heart and what's coming out of your mouth. Let your love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what's evil, cling to what's good, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, and serving the Lord. I like the Passion Translation that says, be enthusiastic to serve the Lord. See, that's a little quiet for enthusiastic. Be enthusiastic to serve the Lord, keeping your passion toward Him boiling hot. Radiate with the glow of the Holy Spirit. Let Him fill you with excitement as you serve. As you serve Him. You're familiar with this from scripture, but just before Jesus went to the cross in John chapter 13 at the Last Supper with his disciples, the Bible says when supper was ended, Jesus got up and he took his outer garment off. The Bible says he laid aside those garments and he girded himself with a towel. And if you do a little study, you see that that towel is a specific reference to a servant's towel. And he wrapped that around himself, and he got out water, and he began to wash the disciples' feet. He said, what I'm doing You don't know and you don't understand right now, but you will. And then he said to him, and blessed and happy are you if you do what I'm doing now. And later in that same chapter, he said in John chapter 13, verse 34, a new commandment I give to you. Does that sound like something that's optional? A commandment? Man, we're going to talk about this in weeks to come in our righteousness series. But have you ever noticed people in church kind of get triggered by certain words? We got a lot of trigger words in the world right now. People get triggered at all kinds of things. Well, you know, church folks got some trigger words themselves. And if you dare say anything about commandment or obedience, that's a trigger word, a work. That's a trigger word to some people. You're putting me under works. But Jesus said commandment. Maybe Jesus just didn't have a good understanding of grace. Maybe that's what it was. No, he said, a commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Same chapter as when he took off his outer garment and wrapped around him the towel and the identity of a servant. What's he saying? My commandment is you love each other like this. Do this. And then you get to John chapter 15. And I want to read this to you. We spent a lot of time talking about this, I guess a year or so ago. We got to remind ourselves of these things. John chapter 15, again, this is just moments before the cross. And Jesus said to them, down around verse 9, I believe it is. Yeah, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandment, what commandment? Love. If you keep that love commandment, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another. Evidently, you and I having joy in this life, and not just having joy, but being full of it to the point where that joy overflows out of us, has everything to do with keeping this commandment. What commandment? Love. How is love expressed? Serving. You want to have joy in your life? This is the key to joy, unspeakable, full of glory. Find somebody to love. Find somebody to serve. Get outside your own self. This is the key to satisfaction. This is the key to fulfillment. And there is no more miserable life than the self-centered life. And there is no more satisfied life than the life spent serving in the kingdom of God. This is my commandment. And he said in verse 13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Do a little bit of study on this. It's fascinating. When Jesus used those words, lay down, it's the exact same words in the Greek a couple of chapters before, talking about him taking off that outer garment and he laid aside. See, we think of laying down our lives as, let's be honest, dying. When Jesus said, lay down your life, love each other like I've loved you, we typically immediately think of Jesus going to the cross, him being crucified and being that sacrifice. And of course, that is love like no man has ever seen before. But remember, that hadn't happened yet. So when Jesus said, love each other like I have loved you, he's not talking about the cross. He's talking about a few hours ago at dinner when he laid aside, he laid down that outer garment and he put on the identity of a servant. And he said, you do this. This is how you love each other. It's more than love you, brother, love you, sister, God bless you. Love you, bless you, bye. There's more to love than that, church. And we will never create an atmosphere of love in this place if we're dependent upon a robotic recitation of love-sounding things. You want love to be the air we breathe when we walk in here? Serve.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to the Legacy TV podcast. We hope you enjoyed this. And if you'd like to hear more of Jeremy and Sarah, subscribe to this podcast and download the Legacy Studios app. From there, you'll have access to the Legacy Television broadcast, the Legacy Letter magazine, and so much more. You can also visit PearsonsMinistries.com to contact us directly and find out how you can get involved with everything that's happening here at Legacy Studios. Be blessed today. We love you. Remember, you are always welcome here in the House of Faith.